Now in verse 10, Psalms 19, it says, more to be desired are they than gold. All of this looking up into the sky, verses 1 through 6, considering the heavens, the tallies of God's glory, the daytime sky, the poem and the painting, day unto day uttering a perceivable, intelligible voice, there being nowhere on earth that this voice is not able to be heard. The sun, like a bridegroom, racing across the sky, hot with a passion for reaching its bride. All of this talk is wondrous and uplifting and inspiring, but eventually one has to settle their eyes back down to earth. The view here on earth is not so wondrous, so uplifting or inspiring, especially when we focus upon the present condition of man. What would you say if I were to tell you that I know of something here on earth that could possibly change man's entire condition? What if I were to tell you that I had stumbled upon something that was able to convert man's soul? Verse 7. In each man and woman's soul, I see so much potential, the very image of God who created them. Now, when I say image of God, I cannot say that they have the potential to be gods in and of themselves. That sounds like something that only Satan would wish to tell them. No, I mean to say that, like a mirror, that they have the potential of reflecting the glory of God, like we considered above in the tally, to reflect this onward to each other. Though I don't typically see them wanting to fully reflect this tremendous glory to each other, I do see glimpses of that reflection hidden within them and the potential to let it shine out all the more. You know, when it is said that Adam and Eve, when their eyes were open, they saw themselves naked and were ashamed, some people think that that means that they were physically or sexually ashamed. I believe it means that they saw each other as no longer reflecting the glory of God. And in that, they saw within their own heart that something drastic had just changed. There's something that I know of that can turn back that sudden and lingering darkness in their souls, restore that brilliant and wondrous reflection. And it's not just them sewing fig leaves together for themselves as aprons. What if I were to tell you that in stumbling upon this, I also found that it could make the wise simple? Verse 7. I don't doubt that all of us in some respect could be classified as the simple. The Hebrew word is pronounced pethe. It means seducible, to the point of being silly or foolish or overly simplistic. Now that I've stumbled upon this, I'm not exactly sure that I've ever met anyone that is not in some shape or form exactly this, myself included. I have known some very intelligent people in my life. I have been blessed to have them in my close acquaintance. I can't say, though, that any have been perfectly wise as to how to get man's soul back to this full reflection of glory. You see, we are all easily seducible when it comes to this. Perhaps we are enticed by the idea, if we just keep ourselves clean and out of moral trouble, that we would better reflect this glory. Perhaps we're enticed by the idea that if we just do extra special good works, more of God's light would shine out through us. Perhaps we're enticed by the idea if we just pray more, or go to church more, or tithe more, or fast more, or fold our knees and meditate more, that God's light will more and more come back out. Ah, but we see that even people that will do all of these very enticing things, for all the good that these things help them to do, that there's still a great deal of darkness when it comes to actually shining anything wondrously similar to God. Something different than the rest. Some would say then, what is the use of all this extended effort? If it is all relative, the same, perhaps we all just end up having our light turned back on when we all get to heaven. What if I told you that what I have now found isn't an on and off switch? It's a long, continual process that doesn't necessarily make the man bright and shiny in this life, but makes him wise to the dark, shadowy things that are so easily seducing him. What if I were to tell you that by what I've stumbled on, the heart can truly be made to rejoice? Verse 8. When is the last time your heart truly rejoiced? Has it ever? Oh, we can find in our hearts moments of happiness, even in this present state. I suppose that we could rejoice in that sometimes, at least for a short time, we can find a little happiness here and there. That is not the type of rejoicing, though, that I'm speaking of. It's hard to rejoice for any length of time and sustain it. I feel that is mostly because we are not anywhere close to doing what we were created first and foremost to be doing, reflecting the glory of God towards each other. How can we reflect it if we do not know it? How can we reflect it if we ourselves have yet to experience it? If we haven't been transformed and affected by it, how then can we truly rejoice if we have not God's glory in and on us to reflect? Rejoicing could do all of our hearts good. I think that I know where to find this rejoicing. I am beginning already to feel it swelling up inside of me. What if I were to tell you, should you happen to stumble upon these things too, that you could also feel this true rejoicing? What if I were to tell you that what I've stumbled upon can mean for us a pure enlightening? Verse 8. The eye is how we come to see things around us. Light reflects off the objects ahead of us, and our eye then receives it, and our brain processes it to determine if the object is something known or unknown, something safe or dangerous, something friendly or unfriendly, attractive or unattractive, etc. Without the light, we are in the dark, and it becomes very hard for our eyes to see. It becomes very hard, if not impossible, to make the same type of determinations. It is no different in the spiritual realm. We see when there is light. We don't see when it is missing. And we are left to our other senses, such as our touch, and our ears, and our feeling. To this point, many would say that this light is something naturally found within us, that each of us have to make our light, our own light, shine. To that I would say that naturally speaking, we are created to reflect the Creator's light, minus His light. Our own personal light, if there is even such a thing, is but a darkness, or a much lesser light than we are intended to reflect. It is hard for the human self to rightly consider this. The human self makes a whole lot of itself and very little of God. And that is the entire reason that the human soul has brought itself into this darkness. The Hebrew word here is pronounced ore. It means to causatively make luminous. We have translated it enlighten. Who of us ever is to make ourselves luminous? Have you ever seen anyone that has made themselves luminous? Luminous regarding themselves, perhaps. They have made themselves appear to the rest of us rather dark, though, have they not? Self-exaltation has a way of doing that. What if I were to tell you that enlightenment wasn't meaning to be self-exalting? It's not self-exaltation, but instead it is meant to be God-exaltation. And I believe that in the things that we are soon to talk about, God will be exalted, and therein we will stumble upon this spiritual enlightenment. If I told you this, would you be willing to follow me deeper into this? If not, what if I were to tell you that these things and the few others that we will speak of in the next section will become for you more desirable than gold? Verse 10. What if I were to tell you that I no longer think that I just stumbled upon this, but that I was brought to this, fighting against it all the way by the considerable weight and glory, the tally of God?